Okay, let's get to place. We're on Daf Vav Amud Beis, and we're counting up from the bottom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five lines and a bit. So we're meant to start with Amalei Rav Yosef Berei Derav Shmuel L'Rav Papa. Now, let's just reiterate where Rav Papa comes into the picture, so we can sort of ease into the new Gemara that we want to learn for today. And in order, we're going to start now. In order to understand this Gemara, we have to go back to what we did yesterday, and that was Rabbi Shimon. And you can find Rabbi Shimon about 10 lines down from the top of this Amud. Rabbi Shimon is analyzing the Shnei Seirim that are brought on Chag HaShavuos. And he's bothered by the following question, Rabbi Shimon. Why bring two Seirim? The purpose of the Seir, which is called a Chatos, is to be Mechaper on Tumas, Migdash, V'Kadoshav. But once you've already achieved that goal with the first Seir, it seems absolutely superfluous, unnecessary to bring a second Seir. And to justify the second Seir, Rabbi Shimon, the Tana Rabbi Shimon says that maybe a Tuma could have taken place between the first Seir and the second Seir. And Rav Shimon himself admits that according to his logic, it should mean that we constantly have to bring chatos. But in any event, the Torah set up certain time periods, and for some unknown reason, Chag HaShavuos is the time period for kapara on Tumas, Migdash, V'Kadosh. But why two Seirim? And Rav Shimon's answer to this riddle is that, as we said before, there may be a possibility of a Tumas Migdash V'Kadoshim that took place between the first Seir and the second Seir. And the Gemara assumes that this would cover even a case where they were mafrish both Seirim simultaneously. So that means that the second Seir is going to be Mechaper for a sin that was committed subsequent to its Hafrasha. And that was the discussion that we had at great length yesterday. Could there be a kapara through a karban, through a tava, even though at the time of that frosh the sin wasn't even committed? And it would seem from Rav Shimon that that's exactly what takes place. Comes along Rav Papa, and Rav Papa says, no, you can't prove anything from Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon, even if he's talking about a case where the kohen was mafrish both Seirim simultaneously, nevertheless, this doesn't prove that when Rav Shimon says that there was a tumah between the first Seir and the second Seir, it means that the second Seir is mechaper on a tumah and an avera that took place after the afrasha, because Rav Papa says Rav Shimon is predicated on a principle called Lev Bezdin Masnelin. What does that mean? When we talk, there are two types of karbonis. There's a karbon yachid, and there's a karbon sibur. When we talk about a karbon sibur, Bezdin, the courts of Israel, are authorized to oversee everything that goes on in the Beis HaMikdash. And they can make a tenai, they can make the following condition, that even though the Kohanim will mafrish both Seirim simultaneously, nevertheless, the first Hafrasha takes effect immediately. It's chal tekef umiyad. The second Hafrasha is going to be suspended, and it will not take effect until the last possible moment before we need to be makriv that second karbon. And that gives you a time differential between the hafrasha of the first Seir and the hafrasha of the second Seir. Again, not the Maisa hafrasha. The act of hafrasha was done on the second Seir simultaneously with the first. But the effect, what's called the chalos of the hafrasha, when was that hafrasha effective? Only at a later period of time. And that's through the power of Lev Bezdin Masna. And,
I'm sorry, did they always have two? Or for that very reason? Or...
It would seem that they always had two.
They always had two.
And that's what the Torah requires. It's a little bit strange because, as we mentioned yesterday, the two Seirim of Chag HaShavuos are mentioned in two different parashios in Emor.
This isn't the Tamid, right? We're talking about?
No, now we're not up to the Tamid yet. Now we're talking about the two Seirim of Chag HaShavuos.
Chag HaShavuos.
Okay then? So now Rav Yosef gets upset with Rav Papa. And he says, your interpretation of Rabbi Shimon is impossible because I'm going to prove to you that Rabbi Shimon never accepted the principle of Lev Bezdin Masna. Umi Islay, as a rhetorical question, Umi Islay, does he, Rabbi Shimon, hold Lev Bezdin Masna Leim, that Bezdin is authorized to oversee the process of what goes on in the Beis HaMikdash and determine that a hafrosh that was done yesterday doesn't take effect until tomorrow? I'm going to prove that that's not so. How do I prove that? For Omar Rav Idi Bar Ovin, Omar Rav Amram, Omar Rav Yitzchak, Omar Rav Yochanan. So after this whole chain, we finally get back to Rav Yochanan, and he says the following. This is your case, Dawn of Tmidin. Now keep in mind, the Tmidim were brought daily, two Tmidim, they were Kvasim, they were sheep, and they were Karbonos Tzibur, but sometimes there was a surplus of Kvasim, because as we said yesterday, each year has its own collection of Trumas HaLishka, which means the monies that were collected for that year are designated exclusively for the Karbonos Tzibur of that year. And what happens in a case where you have a surplus of kvasim? So now the issue is going to be, this is going to be a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim. Can I take this keves, which is no longer necessary, it's a surplus, and it's a keves tamim, tamim means it has no mum, and we'll explain why that's significant in just a minute. So it's a perfectly healthy sheep, and can I be poder such a sheep? And Rabbi Shimon says that that's impossible. Why is that impossible? Because we have a principle that anything that has what's called kedushas haguf, that means it is sanctified through and through in its very fibers, is not subject to pidyon. You cannot transfer its kedusha and remove it. The only time you could transfer Kedusha is on something called Kedushas Damim, something that's sanctified for its value. For example, if I would take this shtender, this table, let's say, and it's mine, and I would be makdish it, that's called Kedushas Damim, where basically I'm being makdish the value that this table has on the market. So I could be poder and take this hegdesh and put it onto mos, onto damim, onto some monetary, on its monetary value. But in the case of Kedushas Aguf, there's no pidyon unless it becomes a baal mum. If you allow it to go and pasture and then it cuts itself and it injures itself in such a way that it gets a blemish, that's already called psuli abikdoshim, and then it's subject to pidyon. So if you have this keves and it's a tamim and it's not a baal mum, it's a perfectly healthy tamim that was sanctified for the sake of a karban olam, a karban tamid, then Rabbi Shimon says you're in a no-win situation. We'll have to see what Rabbi Shimon is going to do with this keves, but at this point, there's no possibility of pidyon. However, the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Shimon. Why? I mean, how could Chacham possibly disagree? We have a very basic principle. We're now on the top of Daf Zayin of Anav. We have a very fundamental principle. You can't be poder kedushas haguf. The answer is niftin tmimim. Why can we be poda them? Because of the principle of lev bezdin masna, which means that bezdin made a tnai that then, at going back to the moment of hakadosha when they sanctified and designated this keves as a karban tamid, they did so with a built-in condition, and the condition was that if this keves is surplus and it's not necessary, then the hakdasha of this keves falls down by one step, by one level. Instead of being kedushas haguf, it becomes kedushas damim. And that's one of the principles we're going to have to learn in Kodshim, that the fallback position of kedushas haguf, in other words, if a person is magdish something, and for whatever reason the kedushas haguf doesn't take effect, then the fallback position is it falls into a more general and a lightweight kind of hegdesh, which is called Kedushas Damim, and the difference is that now you can be poda it and transfer its Kedusha onto Damim. And it's really cool because according to Chachamim, what they're going to do is they're going to transfer the Kedusha of this Keves, Tamim, the surplus Keves, onto Damim. Then they're going to take the Damim and they're going to buy back that very same Keves. But now it comes from the new year. You follow what I mean? So it's just a matter of doing two actions in order to be able to use this Keves as a carbon Tamim. Wait, let me just get the whole picture because it's a... Now, Rav Shimon did not allow Pidyon under any circumstances on this Keves Tamim. So what Rav Yosef is analyzing here, the name of Rav Yochanan, is that apparently Rav Shimon never accepted the principle of Lev Bezdin Masna Lehem. Because if you would apply the authority of Bezdin, then the Chacham would be right. They would have made a built-in condition that would have said that in an event that we don't need this Keves as a Tamid, we're going to transfer that Kedusha, that Hakdasha, from that of Kedusha Saguf to Kedusha Zgdavim and allow what? And allow Pidyon. But the very fact that Rav Shimon did not allow Pidyon means that he adamantly maintains the position that there is no power of Lev Bezdin Masna Lehem, and therefore we really have a serious problem with this Karbon. And what we're going to do is we're going to apply the principle of Keitz HaMizbeach. And again, we're going to reiterate very quickly what Keitz HaMizbeach is. And that is that there's a halacha that when you have extra karbonos to be brought, then we'll bring them as what's called an Olas Nedava Shel Tzibur. Okay, that's a different sugya, not for us now, but that's what Rav Shimon is going to insist on. But there's no possibility of being poda and taking this keves and bringing it as the carbon talmud. Only the Chachamim are allowed to do that because they operate with the principle of what? Lev Bezdin Masna Lehem. Now, if Rav Shimon rejects Lev Bezdin Masna Lehem, and getting back to the two Seirim that we began with of Chag HaShavuos, and assuming that both Seirim was subject to a Hakdasha simultaneously, how can Rav Shimon then allow the second Seir, the second Chatos, to be Mechaper on a Tumas Mikdash for Kadosh that transpired between the bringing of the first Seir and the bringing of the second Seir? It could only make sense then if Rav Shimon holds that you can have a Kapara for an Avera that took place after the Hafrash. Michael?
I don't understand how there could be spare kedushin. It's not difficult to work out. There are two every day, there's 7 days in a week, and there's 365 days in a year. How are they spare?
I don't know. We're going to come back to that a little bit later.
Okay. They have babies.
Yeah. The Ode, and furthermore, Rabbi Yosef has another proof.
Only a year old, yeah.
And, more than that. And he's going to say the following. You know what? Let's say you're going to push the envelope and you're going to convince me that according to Rav Shimon, what they did was they were mafrish the two Seirim Bazachar Zeh. They were very careful and meticulous about it. They were mafrish the first Sawyer at time T1. They waited and waited and waited until time T2, and then they were mafrish the second Karba. I'm still going to prove to you that an Ola could be Mechaper on an Avera, on an essay in this case, that took place after Hafrasha. So again, what are we trying to juggle now? We're trying to assume, on the one hand, that according to Rav Shimon, they were Mafrish, the two Seirim of Chag HaShavuos, in sequence, not simultaneously, and yet I'm going to still prove to you that in light of your original question, could an Ola be Mechaper for an essay that took place that was violated after Afrasha? The answer is yes. And I'm going to prove to you it from the question that Rabbi Yirmiah asked Rabbi Zerah. Ha boy minei Rabbi Yirmiah mi Rabbi Zerah. From the very premise, of the question that Rabbi Yirmiah asked Rabbi Zerah, I'm going to prove to you the magical power of an Ola to be Mechaper even for an Aver after Hafrasha. What was the question that Rabbi Yirmiah posed to Rabbi Zerah? Seirei Atzeres shekibel domam b'shnei kosos. They shechted the two seirim, which are chatos of Chag HaTzeres, which is of course Chag HaShavuos. It means they simultaneously slaughtered both of them, which is the first of the four avodos, and they were makabel the dam in two kelim, right? A kos is another word for a clay sharis, right? There's a clay sharis that's designated for kabbalas adam. The nizrak domo shel rishon, and now after they took from the first kos for the first chata soyer, they sprinkled the dam on the mizbeach. Says Rav Yirmiya, sheni lama hu ba. Why should we be zorek the dam of the second chatos on the mizbeach? There was no time period between the first shechita and the second shechita. It was impossible, says Rav Yirmiya, for any tumah to take place between the shechita of chatos A and the shechita of chatos B, because both shechitos took place simultaneously. And if that be the case, we come to a very, shall we say, paradoxical conclusion, says Rabbi Yirmi, that maybe we shouldn't be completing the process of the second soyer, because it has no purpose to it. There's nothing on which it could be mechaper, since the shechita of the first soyer sets into motion a process that leads to kapara. So Rabbi Zera responded to him, and he said the following: that for sure we're going to be zorek the dam of the second soyer, and it will be machaper. On what? Al tuma she'ura, which means it took place and transpired, bein zrika shel ze le ze, meaning from the zrika of the first one to the zrika of the second one. Rabosai, listen to what's going on over here. You remember that we tried to push in a second time period in the middle here between Hafrasha and Zrika, and that is Shechita. And now Rav Zera is willing to say that the second Karban, the second Sa'ir, even though not only was it designated as a Sa'ir long ago, and not only was the process of Avoda begun because the Shechita was done, nevertheless the Zrika hasn't been done yet. And in the interval between the Shechita and the Zrika, there's a possibility that a violation of Tumas, Migdosh, Vikadosh. So what's the critical moment that determines, that locks into the Kapara? Zrika. And since the second Zrika was subsequent to the first Zrika, therefore according to Rav Zera, the Sar can be Mechapra on the Tumah that took place between the Shechita of the first Karban and the Zrika of the second Karban. So the Gemara says the following. Let's analyze the mindset of Rav Yirmiya when he asks this question. Ad kan lo mi boile. Why was Rav Yirmiya in doubt? He was vacillating and he was perplexed. Ella, because the Shechita of the second Sa'ir was simultaneous with the Shechita of the first Sa'ir. That's what bothered him. And he wanted to know, could there be a kapara achieved by the second Sa'ir when the essay was violated li'achar Shechita, after the Shechita took place? Because again, both Shechitas took place simultaneously. It's only the Zrika of the second one that took place later than the Zrika of the first one. Aval apparently essay deliachar afrosha lo kami boile. He never raised the question about an essay after afrosha. No, there's a very premise of Rabbi Yirmiya's question was that even though erev Shavuos they were mafresh both of these karbonos, the two seiri chatos of Yom HaTzeres, that's okay. I don't mind that. But what happens if they shechted both seirim simultaneously? Now are you going to tell me that the second sar adds some kapara power? How is that possible? And the answer of Rav Zera is no, it is possible, because the Zrika of the second carbon has not taken place yet. So at this point, from the discussion, the dialogue between Rabbi Yirmi and Rav Zera, we see clearly that the assumption was that you could have a kapara post hafrasha, and not only that, you could even have a kapara post shechita, according to Rav Zera at least. And Rav Yirmiya wasn't sure if you could have a kapar post shechita, but he certainly assumed that you could have a kapar post hafrasha. So now Rav Papa, he's always the antagonist. He's trying to maintain that he can't prove anything and establish this magical power of the karma to be mechaper after the afrosha for new averes that took place after Dilma. Perhaps im timtzei lomar ka'amar. What Rabbi Yirmi was saying was he wasn't definite about anything. He really had a suffix as to whether or not the essay after afrosha could be subject to kapara through this karbon. But he said the following: im timtzei lomar, if you'll assume that a karbon could be machaper for an aver that took place after afrosha, I don't know if that's so. What would be as far as an aver that took place after the shechita, when the avoda is already in motion, it's already in force? Can there be a kapara on a tumah that took place after the shechita, before the zrika? That was the vacillation of Rabbi Yirmiyah. But he wasn't even definite about the more basic issue: could there be a kapara from a karbon in an avera that took place after hafrosha? Okay. Now, Rabosai, this gemara that we learned this morning is a tag on to the sugya that we learned yesterday. Just we ran out of time, so now we're starting a new sugya, and we're talking about what's called shinui kodesh. Okay. Now, there are two categories that we've been discussing. One is shinui kodesh, where you had in mind the wrong karbon, and then it was shinui bailim, where you had in mind the wrong mechaper. Now, the oddity, from my perspective, that really boggles my mind here, is that we're about to study the sugya of shinui kodesh, where you had the wrong karbon in mind. But take a look at the case. Itmar, toda sheshachta l'shem todas chavero. What does that sound like to you, Rabosai? Is that shinui kodesh? He had the wrong karbon, or is that shinui bailim? It sounds like shinui bailim. And this is going to be fascinating, because the Gemara is going to say in this case, and we'll have to see why, this is classified as shinui kodesh, as if he had in mind the wrong karbon. Well, according to Rabba says ksheira, which means it's a perfectly fine and dandy carbon toda. So if Reuven brought this toda, he fulfills his mitzvah of carbon toda. He has no need to replace it with a second toda, even though the Kohen shechted it for the sake of Shimon. He thought that this carbon toda belongs to Shimon, and Shimon was bringing this carbon toda. V'Rav Chisda Amar Psula. Rav Chisda says this karbon is unacceptable, and this is called shinui kodesh. Again, keep in mind, Rav, also I owe you a debt, which is hopefully I'll pay up in a few minutes. Why is this a discussion about shinui kodesh and not about shinui bailim? So I know that Ben, you are the proud, you have a prized possession here, the acquisition of a mesifta. So now I have favoritism here. What can I do? But take a look, Ben, here at number Zion, and he says, "Ein ze shinui bailim." This is not called shinui bailim. Maybe in the art scroll he also has a discussion about this. I don't know. I didn't look. But in the Masifti, he has a whole paragraph about why this isn't shinui bailim, and he says the following: that shinui bailim means that the Kohen is very well aware that this carbon belongs to Reuven, and it's Reuven's carbon. But for whatever reason, I don't know exactly why, the Kohen decided that the kapara power of this carbon should be related to Shimon. That's called shinui bailim. But here we're talking about two people, each of which, Reuven and Shimon, have brought that carbon toda, respectively. And the shechita of the toda of Reuven was accidentally done, let's say, for the sake of the toda of Shimon. That's not called shinui bailim. Again, shinui bailim means when I definitely have in mind the bala karbon, but I want the kapara of this karbon to accrue to somebody else. So again, right now we're going to have to accept that as a premise. Comes along Rav Chisda, and he says that if he has in mind, not that the kapara should be for Shimon, but that this carbon is being brought for Shimon, that's called l'shem zevach acher. That's considered a shinui kodesh. Why? Shekein todas Ruvain v'todas Shimon shnei shemos shonim heim. You know, we usually understand shnei shemos means this is a carbon toda, and this one's a carbon ola, and this one's a carbon chatos, etc., etc. We have a brand new definition, which Rav Chisda is pushing the agenda here, of a shini kodesh. It's not that it's a different kind or category of carbon, but it's for a different person. And again, there's going to be a gigantic machlokas here if this is a special, unique halach in carbon toda, or this applies to all carbonos according to Rav Chisda. But let's say in carbon toda, the nature of the carbon is such that it's a Thanksgiving toda for Reuven, and now Shimon has in mind a whole different type of Thanksgiving carbon. It becomes a Thanksgiving carbon because Shimon got out of jail, or Shimon survived a difficult danger. That's called Shinui Karbon. Why? Because there are two Shemos. There are two essential categorical differences between the first Karbon and the second. The shame of the Karbon reflects the person who's bringing the Karbon. And if you change the person, then you've changed the essence and the identity of the Karbon. It becomes Shinui what? Shinui Kodesh. Again, why isn't it Shinui Bailim? Shinui Bailim only applies when I want the carbon to be Reuven's carbon, but I want the kapara power of the carbon to be related to Shimon. That's going to be Shinui Bailim. Now, obviously, Rabba never bought into this. Amar Rabba mino amidale. I'm going to prove to you from a brisa that Rav Chisda's premise and his position is incorrect. As Sanya, we learned in a brisa. This brisa is analyzing the parasha of Karban Toda, which is in Vayikra Zion. And the pasuk says, "Ubisar zevach todas shlomov biyom hakrivo es zivcho." And the Gemara wants to know, what is this phrase, todas shlomov? And we're going to soon see that toda, this is what the Tana Abba Chanin is going to derive from todas shlomov, that toda is a subcategory of shlomim. Now let me ask you the reverse. Would it be fair to say that shlomim is a subcategory of toda? No, because the Torah says todas shlomov. Toda belongs to shlomim. In other words, there's a giant constellation of karbonos that's called, a category called shlomim, and toda is one subcategory. It's like avos and toldos and Shabbos. It's a toda of shlomim. And therefore, says Abba Chanin in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, Balalame, this teaches me the following halacha. Toda sheshachta l'shem shlomim, is that called the Shinui Kodesh, Rabosai? We've just established that toda is a subcategory of what? Shlomim. Of shlomim, is kshera. What about the reverse case? Shlomim shenishchetu l'shem toda. That's already a whole different karbon. That's toda. Is can be called and classified as a shlomim, but shlomim is not a toda. Toda is a very specific kind of a carbon, and therefore psulim, that's called shinui kodesh. And if you'll ask me, uma hefresh bein zel zeh, says the Gemara, toda kruya shlomim. Toda is a subcategory of shlomim. Another word for toda is shlomim. It essentially has the same status as shlomim. But ain't shlomim kriyim toda. But shlomim is not considered toda. And therefore, when it says toda shlomov, it means the toda which belongs to shlomim. But it doesn't mean the reverse, that shlomim belongs to toda. Okay, so now we have a shinui kodesh in the case of shlomim, shenishkatu l'shem toda. Comes along Rabbi and he says, what can I prove from this brisa that sheds a light on my discussion about a toda that was brought from Reuven to Shimon? He says the following. From the words of Rabbi Eliezer, this brisa, we see that only in the case where he shechted shlomim l'shem toda, it's possible. That's a very radical, that's a gap, a great gap between shlomim and toda. They're clearly two different categories. But let's whittle it down within the category of toda. Hatoda l'shem toda, if he shechted a toda for the purpose of a toda, albeit not for the purpose of Reuven's toda, but accidentally for the purpose of Shimon's toda, but it was Reuven's toda, is my love, it would seem to be that it's kshera, that this is a perfectly fine a carbon, it's not a shinui hashem. Okay. my lav, shouldn't we derive from Rabbi Eliezer de Chavre that if it was from one Toda to another, meaning it belongs to his friend Shimon, then the Toda is kosher. Now, Rav Chisda is going to be in a very difficult position. So the Gemara now is looking for a way of defending Rav Chisda. Lo, the Gemara says, I can reject this proof and this diuk from Rav Eliezer. Why? Dide. Okay, what does this word dide mean? It belongs to him, so to speak. And it means the following, that you cannot prove from Rabbi Eliezer that a toda that was shechted for the purpose of another toda, meaning of his friend's toda, is kshera, but rather a toda that comes l'dover acher, shenishka shol l'shem toda acheres, dide, of himself, is then, that's not called shinui kodesh. What goes on over here? Now there are four categories of people who are saved from danger and they have to bring a carbon toda, correct? Arba tzrichim lahodos. So let's just, out of the, you know, picking out of the hat, we'll take two of them. That's just two sample cases. Let's say Reuven experienced the salvation and deliverance, A, because he was never very ill and he survived the disease, and B, he traveled over the high seas, which in those days was very, very dangerous. He now is high of a carbon toda times two, and he went ahead and he was mafresh one toda for one particular deliverance, we'll call it X, and he was mafresh a second toda for the second deliverance, we'll call it Y. And now what happened was the shechita was done for the sake of the wrong toda, meaning the first toda he had in mind, the shochet had in mind for the deliverance of the second toda. That's kosher. Why? Because that's toda didei. Both of these karbanos belong to Reuven, and therefore they're so similar that it's not called a shini kodesh. Comes along Rav Chisda and he says, but if the shochet had in mind Shimon's toda, that's an entirely different carbon toda. It's a new category, because as we said, the name of the person in toda is written, is engraved in stone in the very carbon, and it's as if he shechted the toda l'shem ola, for any other carbon. So the Gemara now asks Akash on this dechia, on this rejection. He says, "Avol dechavrei mai psula." But you're telling me, Rav Chisda, that if he had in mind Shimon, and that's considered a shinui kodesh, the carbon is possible. Aditani, when Rabbi Eliezer wants to tell me that if it's okay if you had in mind in the case of a carbon toda shlamin, but it's not good if you had in mind in the case of a shlamin a toda. Why do you have to stretch his arm out all that far if he wants to now contrast the sefer from the reisha and give you a case where it's possible? Listening, let him tell you toda l'shem toda. What happens if he shechted a toda for a toda, but the first toda was Reuven's toda, and the shochet had in mind Shimon? The koshkin, and I would understand myself, I don't need to know this, you don't have to spell it out, that shlamim l'shem toda is certainly possible. So the Gemara rejects that. The Gemara says no. Toda of Reuven that was shechted on behalf of Shimon is what is possible. Actually, it's right. So the Gemara now wants to resurrect Rav Chisda from the dead, and then you're going to have to ask me, well, if that be the case, why didn't Rabbi Eliezer mention this case of Toda l'shem Toda Reuven l'shem Shimon? The answer is, even though that would also be possible, shlamim l'shem toda didei itzterich leh. What happens if Reuven is chayav both a carbon shlamim and he's chayav at the same time a carbon toda? And the shochet, when he got to the carbon shlamim, he had in mind the toda, but they both belong to the same person, to Reuven. And that's what Rabbi Eliezer wants to tell me. Salket aitachad min, I have a great chiddush for you. You would have thought that in this case, me the toda kriya shlamim, since we said that if you had in mind the carbon toda l'shem shlamim, is shlamim nami kriyim toda, and it should work in the reverse. It's a two-way street, and therefore if he had in mind when he shechted the shlamim for the sake of a toda, that should be fine. V'chishachik lehu l'shem todo l'chshiru, and therefore the carbon should be kosher. This is not called shini kodesh, because to the same extent that a todo is a subcategory of shlamim, shlamim is also a category of todo, or at least shlamim and todo belong together as one category called mashbalon. There was a special chiddush that Rabbi Eliezer wanted to tell us, that shlamim has no relationship to todo. And as far as the shlamim is concerned, todo is a kodesh acher, it's a totally different kodesh, and therefore it's a shini kodesh, and it's possible. But enachinami, even within the realm of todo l'todo, you could have a shini kodesh, if the todo of Reuven was shechted for the sake of the todo of Shimon. Okay. Now Rabosai, the Gemara wants to know about a karbon chatas. So what happened over here? You know that a karbon chatas is brought, classically, it was called a chatas yachid, in the case of a person who violated, unintentionally, an avera, that had he done it intentionally, he'd have to bring, he'd be chayev what? Karbos. Now, there are two cases. Let's give the classical cases. There's chelev and there's dam. So let's say, for example, a person went ahead and he was magdish a chatas to be mechaper for the shogeg of achilas dam. Okay, and then the karba was shechted as a kapora for achilas chelev, or vice versa. So Omar Rava chatas sheshchata l'shem chatas, for another chatas, meaning for a different avera, kshera. That's not considered a shinui kodesh. Why? Because in both cases, the name of the person is the same. In other words, it's both chatos are coming for the sake of Reuven, because Reuven violated two averis, and it's the same carbon. And therefore, he doesn't have to bring a replacement carbon chatos. This is not called shinui kodesh, it's not called shalol lishma. However, l'shem ola, if on the other hand the shechita, this chatos, was done for the purpose of an ola, psula, that means that he has to replace the karba with another karba. Again, the karba is still kosher, because we said that shinui kodesh doesn't pass the karba. Oh, wait a second. We're talking now about a chatos. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. We're talking now about a karba chatos. Oh, so that's why he says psula. Psula means more than that. Psula means...
And how do we know that kashera? Because last time when we learned kashera, it meant that it was kasher, but not for him. How do we know this?
Right. Here it means kasher. Right, you always have to see in the case, in its context. Meaning, if it's a case of shar karbonos, then kashera means that it's not all l'shem chovas bailim, but if it's in chatos, then the issue of kashera or psula is whether or not it's kosher. My timer. Oh, so the Gemara now allows Rava to explain the underlying reasoning of his premise. Why is it that from chelev to dam it's kshera? And he says he derives it from a pasuk. The Torah says v'shachat osa lechatos. That's what the Torah says in the parash of chatos. And harei chatos l'shem chatos nishchita. In the case where he shechted it for the wrong avera, the wrong kapara, but it was still chatos, that's not called a shinui, because the Torah says shachet osa l'chatos, and that's what he did. But chatos l'shem chatos, I'm sorry, it's chatos l'shem chatos. But if it was l'shem ola, if it wasn't shechted for the purpose of a karbon chatos, but rather for the purpose of an ola, psula. Oh. Now we put on the side our discussion about Shinui Kodesh, and now we pick up the case of Shinui Bailim. So if I had neon lights, I would flash the neon lights, because now we're starting something really profound and really new. V'yomar Rava, Rava made another statement, Chatos Sheshchata Al Mi Shemechuyav Chatos. Now this is interesting. We're talking about Shinui Bailim. So the Shechita was done for the purpose of a kapara for somebody else. Again, which avodah is the quintessential avodah that brings kapara? Zrika. So the Shechita was done by the Kohen for the purpose of being Zorik the Dam, not for Reuven, but for Shimon. L'chora, this should be a case of Shinui Bailim. However, with regard to Shinui Bailim, we need Mino. Do you remember that discussion that we had way back about Mino? Mino means there's got to be a similarity here such that it could be a chotzeitz. You know, it could somehow undermine the karbon. So Rava says that Shimon in this case is also chayav achatos. And since Shimon is also chayav achatos, that's called Mino. Because both Reuven and Shimon are both chayav achatos, and therefore psula. Now we have a case of Shinui Bailim. However, al misha mechuyev ola, if the other person, we'll call him Shimon, is not chayav achatos, he's chayav an ola, that's considered eno mino. That's already a different kind of a bailim and a different type of a carbon kshera, my timer. So now we go back to the pasuk that teaches us the source for shinui bailim. The Torah says v'kiper olav. And what does it mean, v'chiper olav? Olav v'lo al chavero, chavero dum yedidei b'mechuyev kapara kemoso. That's a. You have to take a deep breath. You know, that's a full sentence. And this is something very fundamental. So we have to learn it. The rule is that when the Torah says that this carbon has to be brought for the kapara of olav, of the person who took that neder and committed himself to bring that neder, as opposed to someone else, it's to pasel a mashova for someone else if that someone else is chavero dumya didei. Those are three words that we'll have to memorize. Chavero dumya didei. It's got to be someone else who really belongs to the same, you know, he's in the same basket, so to speak, that two peas in a pod, and the Torah says, the keeper olav, you know, one pea belongs to Reuven, the other to Shimon, it's got to be shechted for the purpose of a kapara, of a zrika for Reuven, and not of a zrika for Shimon, because they both belong to the same club. What's that club? Mechuyev Chatas Club. And since they both belong to the Mechuyev Chatas Club, that's considered a Shinu Bailim. However, if Shimon is Chayav in a Karban Ola and he has no relationship to Karban Chatas, he's not in the club, that's not called Shinu Bailim. And it's kind of counterintuitive, because you and I would have said Adarach with a Kal V'chomer. It's more of a Shinu if Shimon is not even in the ballpark. He has a Chayav Ola. But the answer is that's called Eino Mino. Eino Mino means he's not Dumya. He's not chavero dumya didei. He's not all similar. You know, sometimes the problem is when you have two things that are similar. That's when the friction. That's when the friction begins.
We said the chatos couldn't, once a chatos is shechted for and he had in mind ola, then it's possible.
Right. If he had in mind that this carbon should be an ola, it would be absolutely possible.
So what's,
right? He has in mind that the kapara should be for Shimon, and now we have to ask. Right.
Shimon is bringing an ola.
No, wait, no, so slowly. So again, this stage one. So stage one is, he has in mind that this is for the sake of a chatas. But the kapara of this chatas should be for somebody else. Now we get to stage two. Who is that somebody else? I don't mean what his name is. But is he someone that's dumya chavere dumya didei? In shinui bailim, because since again he had in mind l'shem chatas, there's no shinui kodesh, but there might be a shinui bailim here, because shinui bailim means he wants the kapara to accrue to somebody other than the miskaper, the bailim. So then we have to ask ourselves, well, how does this bailim size up into the picture? Is he part of the club or not? Is he dumya didei? Is he also someone who's chayv that same kapara?
No.
And now you want a karban chatas to be mechaper for someone other than the bailim, who also needs the kapara v'chatas. Oh. That's called dumya didei. That's called shini bailim, says Rava. But if you have in mind that the kapara of this chatas should accrue to someone who's out of the league, who's out of the ballpark, he's only chayv and ola, he has no shaykhus to karban chatas, that's not called chavere dumya didei, and that's not called shini bailim.
So we've changed the ballpark, we've changed the rules.
Well, I don't remember which rules we had until now, you know.
The rule was that if it was brought as a chatas, it couldn't be brought as an ola. It was possible.
Yeah, right. We're not saying that it's brought as an ola. What we're saying is that it's Reuven is yotze as chiyuv chatos, because again the karma was brought as a chatos, and now he was a yotze, but the kapara is his. Why? Because stumble shma, so to speak, meaning that the karma itself if it's brought as a chatos and there's no psul, then even if the kohen didn't have in mind the kapara of Reuven, the karbon objectively will be mechaper for Reuven. Reuven doesn't have to bring another karbon. When do we have a problem? We have a problem if Reuven shechted chatos as an ola, right? I don't mean Reuven, but I mean say a kohen. We'll call him Joe Kohen. He shechted the chatos as an ola. That's called Shini Aposel. That's Shini Kodesh. That's not relevant to our discussion. We're not talking about Shini Kodesh. He had in mind the chatos. What we have in mind now is the problem of Shinui Bailin, because he wanted the Kapar and the Zrika to be related to Shimon. And that Lechor should be a classical case of Shinui Bailin. Comes on Rava and he restricts and limits Shinui Bailin. Shinui Bailin is a post-sale only if that Bailin is a member of the club. He needs that same identical Kapara. But if he doesn't have any Shaychas to the Kapara, then that machshava, so to speak, doesn't register. You know, it's like, it's almost like there are two candidates vying for the machshava, the kohen, for that kapara, for that particular kapara. And now there's a shinui bailin because the kapara belongs to Reuven, and the kohen, so to speak, stole it from Reuven and gave it to Shimon. That's called shinui bailin. But if there are no two people vying for that kapara, there's only one candidate for that kapara, and Shimon doesn't have any shaychas to the kapara of chatos, l'chora, again, that's what we have to analyze, then in such a case, since he, let's say he violated an essay, and he needs a kapara for an essay, so he designated a carbon ola, he's not considered a viable candidate for that kapara of, you know, snatch the bag to snatch away the kapara of a carbon chatos. Lememra, shall we assume, the Gemara says, that according to Rava, what's the underlying premise of Rava? Dibas minahi. In other words, that if Shimon needs the kapara, just one second. Lememra debas minahi. I'm just going to read the translation for a second. V'chinita loma shekaparas esei hi mimin kaparas chatas al kein kol mechuyiv bekaparas esei nechshav kibar kaparas chatos. Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? I skipped a few words. That's why I got myself. Okay. V'yom arava. Does everybody have the place? Because I lost the place. Okay. Yeah. Okay. V'yom Rava chatos sheshchata al misha eina mechuyev klum psula. Now this is really strange, isn't this odd? Rava just finished saying that eino mina. In other words, if Shimon doesn't, he's not a viable candidate for this kapara of this chatos, then it's not chavero dumya didei, and it's not a psul in the carbon, it's not a shini bailin. Now all of a sudden Rav is saying that if Shimon needs nothing, he's not chayav in chatos.
What's he doing there in the first place?
No, in other words, why does the kohen have in mind that this carbon of Reuven, which is a chatos, because Reuven ate dam, should now offer a kapara to Shimon? Who invited Shimon here? Because Shimon is not, he's not chayv in any karbon. He's not a criminal that needs kapara of a karbon. And all of a sudden, Rava says that in such a case, that constitutes shini bailim and it's possible, even though he's not chayv a chatas at all. Oh. Counsel on Rava, and he says the following.
I don't know why you think it should be kasher.
No, I'm saying if in the previous case the kapara was related to someone who's chayv and ola, and Rava said in such a case kshera, correct? Okay. Why? Because it's not chavero dumya didei. Here he's not even chayv and karban ola, correct? So why is that chavero dumya didei? I mean, why is Shimon a member of the club, as we said before? Why should that be a shini bailin? He's on the moon, as far as we're concerned. He's not Mino. So why does Rava say in this case, Eino Mechuyev Klum, and yet the Chatos is Psula? Where's the Shini Bailin? So Rava explains. Let's see if we can figure this out based on Rava's explanation. She'ein lecha Adam b'Yisrael, she'eino Mechuyev Esei. In other words, every single member of the Jewish people, unfortunately, at some point, was negligent in an essay. No one's a total tzaddik. And therefore, he definitely needs a kapara. That's his assumption. Again, does it mean absolutely no one? I don't know. But that's the language of Rav. Rav says absolutely no one. There's no one who is a citizen of Klal Yisrael that doesn't need a kapara for an essay. If that be the case, then what carbon? So now, what carbon has the power to effectuate a kapara for an essay? Well, classically, I would have told you Ola. So Rava must be making two premises here. Premise number one is that everybody needs a kapara for a bittul essay. And premise number two, a chatos could be mechaper on an essay. The Omar Rava, chatos mechaperes al chayve essay. Now this is unbelievable, because if you would have woken me up in the middle of the night, I would have told you that a chatos is mechaper for an averas losa sheyesh bo karetz. But he says kal v'chomer. What's the kal v'chomer? Al chayve krisos mechaperes. If chatos has such a powerful arm, an extended arm, that it can be mechaper for a violation of a chiv kares, is al chayve esse lo kolshkein. Certainly, it could be mechaper for an essay. You know, this is like what we call yesh b'klal mosayim mana, that included under 200 is 100. So it comes out, if we take the two premises of Rava, let me just work this out, and we combine them, then number one, every person needs the kapara for an essay, and number two, a chatas always have has the possibility of being mechaper on an essay, and therefore Rava says that even though technically the Shimon here in our situation is called an Eina Mechuyev Klum, but that's only fooling us. That's only a superficial perspective. But on a deeper perspective, he is Mechuyev a Kapara, and therefore the Kapara of Chatos is related to him as well. So when the Kohen had in mind that the chatos of Reuven should have a zrikas dam that would generate a kapara on behalf of Shimon, Shimon in fact is considered a mechuyev of kapara, and he has a relationship to that kapara of the korban chatos. In the previous case, let's go back to Rava's original case, where Rava says that if a chatos was shechted on behalf of Shimon, who's a Mechuyav Ola, and again, Mechuyav Ola means that he is actually obligated in a carbon Ola. That was a full-fledged obligation. And the Kohen has in mind that the Kapara of this Chatos should be the Kapara for that Ola, to replace Shimon's need for a carbon Ola.
So the Kohen has changed two things. He's changed the chatos to an ola, and he's changed the person from Reuven to Shimon.
Correct, and in such a case, Rava says it's possible. But if he didn't have in mind the coin that the chatos should be mechaper for somebody's ola, to replace somebody's ola kapara, but rather that the chatos itself should be mechaper for Shimon, even though Shimon ostensibly doesn't need the karban chatos, the answer is he needs the karban chatos. Why? Because ein lecha adam Yisrael sheinu mechuyav essay that hasn't violated an essay. So the Gemara says, wait, let's just, again, you got to give me a little time. Lememra debas minahi. Shall we assume that when a person needs a kapar for an essay, he's considered mimin kaparas chatos? In other words, he's also obligated in achieving the kapara for his essay as a kaparas chatos, so he has a definite relationship to the kaparas chatos, and it becomes dumya de chavre. V'omar Rava, Rava says that chatos shechata al misha mechuyev chatos psula, al misha mechuyev ola kshera. That if a the shechita is done on behalf of Shimon, and Shimon needs a carbon chatos just as well as Reuven does, that's called Shini Bailim, and therefore passes the carbon. Correct? And if he brings if he shechs the carbon for the sake of Shimon who's chayv and Ola, then it's kosher. Now, if you're telling me that Shimon is also in violation of an essay, you know, he's not just chayav in a carbon ola, then the chatos is related to Shimon as well. That should pass the carbon even in the seifa of Rava. Ein lecha, ein chatos mechaperes al mashem mechaperes ola. You're going to have to assume that if Rava says that the shochet shechted on behalf of Shimon who's chayav and ola, then it must mean that Shimon, and yet it's kosher, it must mean that Shimon's kapara is not considered to be min karban chatos. So what's going on over here? How could Rava say on the one end that a machshava for someone who's Edom Achuyiv Klum is psula, because that Shimon participates in the kapara of the chatos because he violated an essay, and yet we're saying at the same time that if Shimon was Machuyiv an Ola, then the Chiyuv Ola is considered Eino Min Kaparas Chatos, and Eino Mina is not, does not disqualify the carbon under the law of Shinui Bailim. Let's just read a little bit further so we'll try to get the whole picture. And the Gemara says, we're up to now Daf Zayin Amud Beis, that Mikiva Lo Machapra, Mikufya Machapra. In other words, there are two types of kapara. We're now breaking down kapara into two distinct categories. There's one category called kiva, which is an Aramaic conjugation of the word kvius, kvua. Kvua means it's set, it's primary. And then there's something called kufya. Kufya means on the surface. Rashi says it's miloshon kofa barzala, which means something that like floats on the surface of the water. And that's not called kviya. In other words, what we're trying to understand is what's the ikar kapara of the carbon. And we're saying the following, that chatos is mechaper on chayve krisus. That's called a kapara kvua. It also extends its arm on a surface level, mikufya, to cover averas esei. But that's not called the main kapara. So now we have to ask ourselves the following question. When the chatos was shechted, chatos of Reuven, on behalf of Shimon, what was the situation of Shimon? Did Shimon designate a carbon as an ola? So it works like this. If the shechita was done for the sake of Shimon, and Shimon was obligated in an ola, and he's going to, one second, and he designated a carbon as a carbon ola, he's going to achieve his kapara through what? Through an ola. He doesn't need the kapara of Reuven's carbon chatos. Again, he can't get that kapara. I'm saying even in the mindset of the Kohen who has in mind Shimon,
he doesn't. The whole Rava starts by quite clearly stating that he's slaughtering for the sake of someone,
right,
who is not obligated to bring anything. So how can he?
No, wait a second. Wait a second. I'm reading the following words in Rava: chatos sheshachta al misha mechuyev olok sheira. Do you have those words?
I'm looking at she'ena mechuyev.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a second, but first, let's take the case of Almisha Mechuyev Ola. And he was saying that he's Eino Mina. Why? Because he doesn't have any candidacy or any participation in the Kapar of the Chata. So the Gemara asks the following question. What do you mean? You just finished telling me that that Chatos has the power to be Mechaper not only on what? On a on a chiyuv kares, but even on an essay. So then Shimon is a very fine participant. He's Mino, he's Dumya de Chavero as far as the Kapar of Chatos. Why then does Rava say that this case is Kshera? So the Gemara now is postulating the following, that it's not just that Shimon would possibly gain from the Kapara of the Chatos of Reuven. That is a theoretical possibility, but it's not a real practical possibility. Why? Because Shimon was Mechuyiv a Karban Olah. And since Shimon was Mechuyiv a Karban Olah, when he goes ahead and he was Mafrish the Olah, then the Olah is going to be Mechaper for the essay. That means that Shimon is no longer a candidate to dip in to the Kapara power of the Chatos. But Eino Chinami, if a person is not Mechuyiv Klum, which means that he wasn't Mafrish a Karban Olah, he is a candidate to achieve the Kapara of the Chatos. Because Rava claims that at least Mikufya, yeah, even as a kind of a superficial kind of a carbon and a machaper, the Chatos would offer Shimon a partial, incomplete kapara for his essay. So again, if you compare the kapara of a Chatos for Shimon's essay in a case where Shimon is bringing a carbon ola, it doesn't register at all. Right. Why? Because the kapara for the essay, kvua, as a kapara kvua, as the real, live, genuine, essential kapara, that will be achieved by what? Yeah. By the carbon ola. Chatos can only give you a half-baked kind of a kapara.
So it doesn't work.
So therefore, Shimon, insofar as he designated his carbon ola, he's not a candidate for a kapara. He has the real Makoi kapara. Don't pawn off some sort of secondary partial kapara. He's going to achieve the real Makoi kapara through the Ola, because that's called Kviya. However, if Shimon is not Chayv in Ola, or let's put it this way, he really is Chayv in Ola in the sense that everybody's Chayv in Ola, but he wasn't Mafresh a Karban Ola, then he needs at this point the Kapara V'chatos. And therefore he becomes a participant in the Kapara V'chatos. So when the Kohen had in mind that Reuven's Chatos should be Nizrak Domo and the Kapara should be on behalf of Shimon, then paradoxically, because Shimon is not Chayim in a Karban Ola, so he has no relationship to an Ola, he is now considered Dumya de Chavre, meaning he participates and gains the Kapara of the Chatos, albeit at what level? Mikufya. And therefore, in such a case, the Karban is possible b'torah shinui bailim.
So in fact, at the end of the day, he can't get the kapara. If it's basula, then Shimon doesn't get the kapara. Well, Shimon is not going to get the kapara
because you can't be zorek the karbon of some other bailim on behalf of Shimon. What we're trying to understand is why the machshava of the kohen registers. Meaning, is this called a Shinui Bailim? Shinui Bailim is not going to offer a kapara. You can't change the kapara from the owner, from the Bailim, over to someone else. But we want to know, is this called a Shinui Bailim in the light of Rava's definition that Shinui Bailim only applies if it's Dumya de Chavre, meaning the kapara that crosses the mind of the Kohen, that he wants to Shech the Karban and Zorik the Dam on behalf of Shimon, that Shimon should achieve the kapara, is Shimon a candidate for that kapara? Not befall. In actuality, he can't get the kapara. That he's not going to have. But the question is it Dumya de Chavre? Is it a kapara that he could dip into if only it was his karmon? It's not his karmon.
Oh, so this is a completely theoretical exercise.
Everything is conceptual. We're only trying to define the bounds of Shinui Bailim. And Shinui Bailim means that you want the kapara to be related. Let's say, for example, you know, the Kohen had in mind the Shinui Bailim for the sake of a guy, that he wants the kapara should be on the sake for the sake of a guy. That would not be Shinui Bailim, because the guy doesn't have the kapara. So he's completely mufka. He's out of the ballpark. But in the case of Shimon, who could, in a theoretical sense, he could be shaykh to that kapara. Why? Because Eilechadu Yisrael Shalor al essay, and therefore the Chatas, insofar as it has a kapara with the Kalvachomer on an essay, he could, in a theoretical world, grab onto that essay. That means that it's a Shinui Bain. However, if Shimon was already mafrish a korban ola, which is going to cover him with a fundamental kapara, which is called kviya ikris, a primary kapara for his essay, then he's out of the ballpark. He's like that case that I mentioned before, where you had in mind someone who's not shayach to the kapara at all. Okay, Rabosai, I guess we'll... what time is it now? Is it 10:30? Yeah.
10:33.
Okay. I have another appointment at 11 o'clock, so I don't want to be late, because I'm a little nervous about parking over there. You know, I think I'll find a place, but how am I going to park?
You'll be back at 12:15?
I'll be back at 12:15 in Mitzvah Shem. Okay, then?
And that'll be what, the second...
That 12:15 is my normal 11:45 shiur.
Okay.
And if you follow me. And then the Derech shiur, that's at 2 o'clock.
2 to 3.
Okay, then?
If it works in theory, why does that, I don't understand, why does it work in practice? I mean,
no, in practice means that kaparva karbon could only be related to the bialin. If you're the bala karbon,
so
then you could achieve the kapar. Now the question is there shini bialin? So we're saying that shini bialin has to be that there was some havamina, so to speak, that that other person could dip in to that kapar. Alright, then?